want to live a life on fire and on mission. You want to be filled with such conviction and drive that you stop caring about what anyone thinks. You want to face each day alive, authentic, and fully present in every moment. With your wife, with your kids, on the street, at work. You want to bring yourself to the table and to stop bringing the watered-down, nice, what-everyone-wants version of you. You want that self to be a man who is burning in passion for Jesus, unafraid to bring his kingdom to anyone in your path, no matter what it costs you. You want to love the one in front of you without fear, without needing love back, and without reserve. You want to husband well. You want to father well. You want to shepherd your life well. You want to be a safe pillar for anybody around you. You want to experience God for real, to not just believe, but to know that he's got you and that he'll show up on your behalf, that he'll show up through you. You want to get to the end of your race and say, yep, I gave it everything. Jesus, you know I'm all in. And you want to know just how to get there. Welcome to Man Warrior King. I'm your host, Matt Halleck. Congratulations. You're among the violent taking the kingdom by force. You're among the chosen answering the call to rise above yourself. You're in the forge being stripped down and strengthened, and you will rise stronger, solid, unshakable. You are a man. You're a warrior. You are a king. Hello, gentlemen, and welcome to another episode of the Man Warrior King podcast. I'm your host, Matt Halleck. Today we're going to be talking about Jeremiah. More about Jeremiah. Yeah, as I've been going through it in my own heart, Jesus has been meeting me fresh, like I've needed for a long time, actually. In my last episode, we talked about repentance, and I talked about how I've been returning to the Lord, how I started the Man Warrior King podcast in the wrong spirit, and God's been convicting me, showing me places where I've been just missing his heart, and he's been doing it through Jeremiah. You know, in my circles, it's pretty common for other Christians and myself to want to see life change always by a miracle, always by getting that one powerful speaker, the one preacher person, the prophet, whoever, to come and pray and lay hands on you up at the front and hope that you get knocked over, hope that you get a prophetic word that's right on the money that changes everything for you. And I believe in those things. I absolutely do. I know that God changes people's lives in those powerful encounter situations that somebody is desperately needing, that we all kind of need, right, from time to time. But I believe that we can get stuck waiting and looking for those things, looking for our breakthrough to happen to us from this outside force, whether it's a conference or a prophet, preacher, person, instead of realizing that we do have the storehouses of heaven at our disposal. And sometimes we look to those other things as the easier way, and we aren't necessarily willing to get our own hands dirty and put in our own time and work and energy and effort into exploring the person of God, of Jesus. And we want to ride on somebody else's effort. We want to ride on somebody else's history that they have built with the Lord. And that's not good. Because we have the powerhouse of heaven at our disposal. We have the heart of Jesus himself living inside of us in the Holy Spirit. And we can see our lives change as we powerfully engage with Jesus in our own intimate relationships with him. We don't have to wait for a mediator or an intercessor, an Old Testament priest to go into God's presence on our behalf and come back with a blessing for us. We are a new covenant people, and that means that we all have access by the same Spirit to the same throne room, to the same powerhouse. That is Jesus. That's the Father. And when we engage with the Lord in this way, it may not be that we get an immediate answer. It may not be that we therefore will get immediate breakthrough. Remember Jacob, who wrestled with God all night long. And the way those stories worded makes it sound like he was desperate, like he was clinging to his last bit of hope, and like maybe he didn't even fully hope that God would answer him. Like he was running out. But he was scraping by all night long at the off chance that this angel, that God himself might bless him, might pour out his presence over him. And Jacob's breakthrough did come. It says that as the morning broke, as the day broke open. So he made it all night, guys, before seeing any progress. And finally, his progress was when God touched his hip and dislocated his hip socket and gave him a limp forever. But that limp was a small price to pay for a new powerful identity and to have his life redeemed from the hands of his brother. So my encouragement to you is to wrestle with God. If you want breakthrough, if you want to see things change, then you're going to have to engage in his presence. You're going to have to start taking matters into your own hands. And maybe that doesn't mean, in this situation, literally actually trying to do the thing, the situation, the circumstance, trying to fix it on your own. Maybe what you really need to do right now, the matter that you need to take into your own hands, is actually God himself. You need to take him, his person, his being, in your hands and try to throw him to the ground and see what he does. And don't let go. And you put up a fight. You grab hold of him and you wrestle him down and you try to pin him until he taps out. When was the last time you've done that? Will you do it now? Will you engage with him? For me, what this looks like is going deeper into my prayer closet and throwing myself before the Lord and saying, God, I need to know you. I need to know you. There are things in my life that are broken big time, and I've tried to fix them. I've tried to be a man after your heart. I've tried to be a man of honor. I've tried to be a kingdom man, and I have pieces of life that are just broken, and I've messed it up. For all of my wonderful effort, I've messed it up. And there are times when the effort doesn't count for anything anymore. There are times that no matter how hard you try, it just doesn't matter. You need results, and they're not coming as you keep on putting forth the effort. So what the heck are you supposed to do? You engage. You go to the wrestling mat with Jesus himself, and you lay yourself bare. And I've been saying, God, I need to have you. I need to know you. You. I've done it my own way and it's been screwed up. And so now, Jesus, I need to know you. You are really my only hope. And it doesn't mean that you think you're such a worthless piece of garbage. You can do this kind of thing. You can go to the Lord this way with a high self-worth and a high self-esteem. You don't have to wallow. You don't have to throw mud on yourself like a pig. And in fact, this can be exactly what draws you to him. What draws you into his presence? This high self-worth and high self-esteem can paradoxically exist with the humility that says, God, only you are going to bring me through. Only you are going to heal what I have hurt. Only you are going to heal my hurt. I can't be the ruler of my life. I will not be my own king. But as a man of honor and high self-worth, I know that the only way is for you to be my king. And so I've been in my prayers actually just acknowledging the places of brokenness, but not making them what my prayers are about, not making them what my half hour or hour is centered on. Because we can go to God in prayer when our lives feel really messed up, and we can only just beg him for the things that we want. We have this tendency to declare one side, up one side and down the other, all the right scriptures and promises that tell us we should get this or that or whatever. But I'm telling you that this Bible is not meant to be a book of inanimate objects. It's not meant to be keys that we can just pull out and turn in a door lock anytime we want. That's not what this thing is. These promises don't work all by themselves in isolation. They don't work when we're using them to build our lives together and to build our empires. That's not the operating system that Jesus designed his promises for. His promises operate only in the operating system of intimacy, and connection, and this one is huge, surrender to the King, knowing that our friend, and sometimes men in particular need to get to know each other by fighting it out. So sometimes these promises only work in knowing our friend and fighting it out with our friend who is Jesus. And so I'm challenging you right now to lay down those promises that you've been holding on to for a time and go into your prayer closet with only this, with only the need to know Jesus. With only the need to know Him, His person, and set down the things, your desires, your even the very real urgencies that you just can't seem to let go of. Set them down for a time. This book, Jeremiah, if you read it, you'll see it's a book of intimacy. It's an invitation into knowing Jesus for yourself in a closer and more real way. It's God bearing His heart to His people. He's almost begging them, please come to know me. Please abandon your idolatry. Stop seeking these other things. I alone have life. I alone am the one. In Jeremiah 3, verse 12, he says, "Return, faithless Israel, declares the Lord. I won't look on you in anger, for I'm merciful. I won't be angry forever. Just acknowledge your guilt, that you rebelled against the Lord your God and scattered your favors among foreigners under every green tree, and that you have not obeyed my voice. Return, you faithless children, for I am your master, and I will take you one from a city into a family, and I will bring you to Zion." So if we stop right there, and we just listen to God's heart, listen, this is not an angry, far-off, aloof, distant schoolmaster. This is a father who hurts for his children. Listen, return, O faithless son. I won't look on you in anger, for I am merciful. You remember the prodigal son story, right? What about that dad who ran out to meet his child, his son who deserved no honor, who deserved no favor, who deserved no compassion? He deserved no kindness. He did not deserve his dad to run and meet him, but that's not who he is. That's not who God is. That's not who this dad was. He was a man of compassion, of extreme love, extreme favor, extreme proudness over who his son was. So his son didn't do anything to earn it. He just was. And you, my friend, you just are a son. And you have the favor of your dad, so return to him. He won't look on you in anger. He is merciful. Listen, he says, I won't be angry forever. Just acknowledge your guilt that you rebelled against me. Acknowledge your guilt. That's all. That's the only price the Lord is asking of you. That when you've been walking down the wrong road in a wrong heart, maybe a hard heart, maybe you've been bitter, maybe you're listening to this right now because you're searching for something that will help switch you over from that bitterness that you're stuck in. So maybe you've been bitter, but the Lord he's merciful to you. He will receive you. Just acknowledge it. Acknowledge that you rebelled. It's not that bad. You, friend, are not that bad. In fact, you're good. If you acknowledge your guilt and you repent, you're not giving room to the low self-worth. You're not giving room to worthlessness. You're not taking away the reasons for your confidence. You can repent in confidence that you are accepted and that your very repentance itself leads to your acceptance. It's what draws His heart to you and makes Him even more proud of you than He already is. So when you return, when you repent, He says, I will bring you to Zion. You are children of Zion. You are children of the presence. Look at this, verse 15 of chapter 3. Jeremiah says, I will give you shepherds after my own heart who will feed you with knowledge and understanding. So when we return before the Lord in this soft heart, it is absolutely manly. I'm telling you, to be humble before Him is manly.
It's manly to repent before him. It is masculine. It is strength at its finest. It's only a coward and an insecure man who cannot repent because that person thinks that their self-worth is tied up in their perfect performance. But a confident man, a secure man who knows who he is, can repent freely and openly because he knows that his self-worth isn't linked to his performance. It's fully settled, fully settled in his very identity and who he is because Jesus has declared it over him. So when you repent as a man, God will give you shepherds after his own heart who will feed you with knowledge and understanding. Look at this. He's not saying, search my scriptures and find the promises that apply to you. Your lack of breakthrough is due to your lack of study and your lack of knowledge. And then once you do that, use them and you can fix your life. He's not saying that. He's saying, come to me, return to me, acknowledge to me your guilt, and then I will bring you shepherds who will feed you with the knowledge and understanding. So we set our hearts not on the answers to our problems. We set our hearts on the person of our Father. And then he brings the answers that we've been looking for. But first we seek him. And we look to clear out any barrier that stands in the way between us and him. Earlier in Jeremiah, he says that he's the fountain of living waters and that his people have committed the evil of leaving him in order to build their own cisterns that don't even hold water. He's saying this, I am the source of life that you are desperate for. Stop seeking the life itself and start seeking me. Stop seeking the healing from the sickness and start seeking me, the healer. Stop seeking the full bank account and start seeking me, the provider. Stop seeking a fixed marriage and start seeking me, the wonderful counselor. Stop seeking freedom from your pain and start seeking me, the one who binds up the broken heart. He doesn't want a relationship with people who are just treating him like a vending machine, you guys. He wants to dish out blessings. Yes, like a vending machine. But he wants to do this to people who are engaged in intimate relationship with him, who when all is said and done, we would be willing to abandon anything that we need or want for the sake of knowing him more and being connected with him more, being more immersed and more aware of his love and his power and his presence. So when we return to him, though, he doesn't just give us himself. He gives us the shepherds, the wisdom, that coaching, that guidance, that course correction that we are desperate for, that our lives actually need in order to get fixed. And he says that when you multiply and have been fruitful in the land, then they shall no more say the ark of the covenant of the Lord. Now watch this. This means when you return to me, he says, when you have multiplied, when you have been fruitful in this land. This is not an if. It is not an if you return to me. And maybe you will multiply. Maybe you'll be fruitful. This is a when you return. Without a doubt, you will multiply. So, if you return, if you come back, if you return to the Lord, it's guaranteed you'll be fruitful. You won't stay desolate, my friends. You won't stay in the life that feels like it's going nowhere and that feels like you're worthless. You will be fruitful. You will multiply. And they won't say the ark of the Lord anymore because the presence of God won't be tied up in some other object in some distant place that you have to go to because you've put in your own time. You put in your own effort, your own work to build this history with the Lord. You don't need an Ark of the Covenant for his presence, for his guidance, for his empowering, for miracles to start opening up over your home, over your head, over your heart, over your body, over your marriage, over your bank, over your business. You don't need something else. You need the presence of God within you. And the very place where you live will be called the throne of the Lord. And all the nations will gather to it, to the presence of the Lord in Jerusalem, and they shall no more stubbornly follow their own evil heart. In those days the house of Judah shall join the house of Israel, and together they will come from the land of the north to the land that I gave your fathers for heritage." So listen, the presence of the Lord will not be bound up anymore in this isolated place, in this object. You'll be living in a place immersed in his presence. You won't be able to get away from his presence. There will be no ritual to go through for his presence. You'll be living in a walking and breathing experience of Jesus himself, and he will give all of himself to you. So will you return to the Lord? Will you stop treating him as a thing to go to get something from? Will you return to him and repent and be broken before him and acknowledge your need of him? And in that place be built up. It's stronger than you've ever been. It's more power and victory and presence than you've ever had. So it doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter where you've been off. It doesn't matter where you've missed it lately. God will set you among his sons. You have a place as a son. You are not a worthless slave. You are not a worthless servant in his house. You have a place of honor as a son. And he says, "I want you to call me my dad. I want you to call me dad. I will give you a pleasant land. I will give you a heritage. You are most beautiful." Do you believe this? I've got to tell you, it's hard to believe, but it's true. And I understand. I understand that when you're faced with crisis in life, it's hard to believe that you're being productive by taking an hour of your day, 2 hours, 3 hours, to go and be alone with the Lord and to return to him and to get your heart right, to get your mind right, to repent, to let this Spirit sink into you. It's hard to believe that this isn't irresponsible, because you should be out working and making money and toiling away because you're about to not pay your rent. So who do you think you are to go spend time with the Lord? You're not being a man of honor for your family, right? These are the thoughts we have. Who am I to take this time to do this? But look at this. You're a kingdom man. And going and climbing a mountain to pray is just as much going to work on behalf of your family as actually sitting down at your desk or clocking into your job. Going up a mountain to pray, to seek the Lord, to enter into his presence is just as much providing for your family's well-being. Yes, monetarily, absolutely, because the Lord, he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, and the land to give you is his already. And he says, "I will give you a heritage most beautiful. I will give you a pleasant land." So yes, doing this is providing for your family monetarily, financially, and it's so much more because it's providing for them in the spirit realm. You don't know how many demons you're fighting off when you go to the Lord and have to fight your own demons with him. You go to battle with him. You wrestle with him. You don't know the places that have been locked up over your kids, over your wife, over your family. You don't know what places are getting open and loose because you are going into the habit of prayer. You're going into the wrestling match with the Lord. You are returning to him like Jacob, and you are hanging on to him until he brings the breakthrough because you are at the end of your ability. This is good. This is responsible, men. We can do this, you guys. We can absolutely do this. So stick with me, stick with the Lord. There's more to come. This is Matt Halleck signing off and thanking you again for being a part of the Man Warrior King community. If you want more, head over to manwarriorking.com. And please remember to take just a couple seconds to subscribe on iTunes and to leave a 5-star rating and a review so that more and more men can join us as we become awesome. You are a kingdom man. Go out. Take more ground, push back darkness. Remember, you bring value into your home, your work, and your circle. You are not a taker, you are a giver. Abundance is your atmosphere.